Let us commence our services today by singing together hymn number 126. The tune is Langshaw 168. Speak the honours of my King, his form divinely fair. None of these sons of mortal race may with the Lord compare. Hymn 126. Read together from the Holy Word of God in the book of the Revelation, reading chapters 5 and 6. The book of the Revelation, chapters 5 and 6. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honour and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word. Grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and art to come, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we desire to bow before thy great and thy glorious majesty, the only true God. And we desire to come to thee, poor guilty sinners as we are, in the name of Jesus Christ, his precious name and blood is our only hope. Oh, we pray that we may be favoured this day as we gather around the word of God, that the word of God may be open to our heart and to our understanding, and that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, that we may behold wondrous things in thy law, in thy word, in thy truth, and that we may be led of the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And may we have that sacred evidence, O Lord, personally in our hearts, that we are being led of the Spirit of God, that we are indeed the sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. Do reveal and confirm our interest in a Saviour's blood, our pardon sealed, and peace with God. Oh, do grant that the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and that infinite love of our Heavenly Father and that divine union and communion of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide with us as we gather together this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Look upon us as a church and as a congregation, and have mercy upon us, O Lord, we pray thee, from the youngest to the eldest, and grant that we may see that mighty work of thy grace among us. Grant that those that are yet dead in trespasses and in sins may be quickened by the Holy Spirit, may be brought to know and realize their lost condition, and may be brought to realize that before them is the great day of judgment, And we will either hear, O Lord, that solemn sentence, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, reserved for the devil and his angels. Or we shall hear that blessed voice, come, come. Oh, most gracious God, what a blessed voice. May we hear that voice today. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Great God, we come then in all our need, in all our helplessness, in all our insufficiency. We have no good works to bring. We have no good deeds to bring. For Lord, we solemnly realise that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We are all as an unclean thing. We go forth from the womb speaking lies and hypocrisy. And from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, we are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There is no soundness in my flesh. And great God, we often have to cry out with the dear apostle, O wretched man, that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Great God, this is our only hope, the finished work of Jesus Christ, the precious blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ is our only hope. Oh, most gracious Lord, may we sing with the poet of old, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean upon his name. Great God, help us continually to do so. Help us to be found looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Help us to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst have mercy upon us then as a church and as a congregation. We thank thee for all thy mercies toward us. Thou hast been gracious unto us. Thy loving kindness is known and felt among us. And the mighty work of thy Spirit has been seen among us. Precious souls have been gathered unto Christ, and real repentance has been given, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We hear the bleatings of the lambs, O Lord. Oh, we do pray. Go on, most mighty God, thy wonders to make known. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, and ride prosperously because of truth and righteousness. Oh, do come. Lord Jesus, go forth conquering and to conquer. Thou hast promised in thy word, I will work, and who shall let it? Come and work among us, Lord. Come and grant mighty signs and wonders to follow the preaching of the word. Come and pull down the strongholds of Satan. Come and powerfully work in the hearts of each one, from the youngest to the eldest, for thy great name's sake. We pray that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray that we may love thee more, that we may serve thee better. We pray that the zeal of thine house may eat us up, that we may be so focused and have such purpose in our lives, with that one desire to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto thee, which is our reasonable service. Help us to live to thee. While our days on earth are lengthened, may we give them, Lord, to thee, cheered by hope and daily strengthened. So, Lord, do bless us and do work mightily among us. Bless our beloved brethren, the deacons, and give needed grace, wisdom and help in all the responsibilities here and elsewhere among the churches, that which devolves upon them. Give them needed grace day by day, and lift them up by thy good Spirit. help them to be found looking unto Jesus. We do pray thy blessing upon each one of our brethren and sisters in Christ. We thank thee for them. And we thank thee for all thy tender mercies toward us. We think of that word, by this shall they know that ye are my disciples, because ye have love one to another. Oh, that may be that wonderful mark among us here, that we might have love one to another. We might bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. Make us fruitful unto every good work and word and way. O Lord, we do beseech thee. Deliver us from a Pharisaical spirit. Deliver us from a hard legal spirit. But grant that our hearts may be sweetly softened under a sense of the dying love of our precious Redeemer. Lord, we pray thy rich blessing upon us as we gather this afternoon around the table of the Lord. And may our hearts be knit together in love. And may we be given some sweet glimpses of yon lovely man. We thank thee for bringing our dear brother and sister from Holland today. And we thank thee for safe journeys. And we pray that they may be profited as they gather round the word with us today. Thou knowest their pathway, and thou knowest all about them, and we lovingly commend them to thee. We pray, dear Lord, thy blessing to rest upon the little babes and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. We pray that those that are expecting children may be safely delivered of a living child with all its faculties at the appointed time. A child that is born to be born again. We seek thy blessing, dearest Lord, that it may rest upon the young friends as they stand upon the threshold of life's journey. Thy preserving mercy, thy keeping mercy, thy delivering mercy, thy enlightening mercy. Bring them into union with Jesus Christ. Make them true followers of thee and of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Supply all their needs in their education and regarding employment and a partner in life's journey. Great God, we lovingly commend them to thee. We pray for the prodigals that have wandered away from the house of God. We pray that thou wilt stretch out thy almighty arm, that thou wilt cause them to be in want, that they may return, that they may come to the sanctuary. Oh, great God, we lovingly commend them to thee and to the word of thy grace. We pray that thou wouldst have mercy upon them to turn the feet to Zion's hill. Oh, Lord, thy grace is almighty, irresistible. Oh, Lord, we proved it. We know it to be so. Oh, do grant that with those prodigals they may return at thy appointed time. We pray thy blessing upon all in the midst of the journey of life, bearing the heat and the burden of the day. Deliver us from temptation. Lord, sometimes the enemy comes like a roaring lion to try and devour us. Sometimes he comes as an angel of light to try and deceive us. Lord, we do not have the wisdom nor the power to stand against this great foe. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Great God, have mercy upon us. Fulfill that wonderful promise that thou hast spoken unto thy people. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Great God, grant that it may be so. Deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from the allurements of this world. Deliver us, O Lord, we pray thee, from sin and from its power. Help us to live godly in Christ Jesus. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst bless those in the evening time of the journey of life and put the arms of thine everlasting love around them and support them and sustain them in the remaining steps of life's journey. We pray, most gracious Lord, that those in darkness may be brought into light, and those in bondage may be brought into liberty, and those that are far off may be made nigh. O Lord, we pray that the glory and light of the gospel may shine into this village and the surrounding villages and hamlets, and that we may see an ingathering of precious souls, and that the word of the Lord may be richly blessed. And as the word of the Lord goes forth on the internet, may it please thee to bless thy word. O send out thy light and thy truth, and return in thy power and in thy glory, as thou usest to be in the sanctuary. O Lord, we do beseech of thee. Has not our fathers told us? Have we not heard with our ears the wondrous things that thou hast done in days gone by? Raise up mighty men of God in our nation. Send them forth to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. We humbly beseech thee, return to Jerusalem with mercies, and make bare thine holy arm, O Lord. We do pray thee, we do beseech thee, remember thy Zion in these dark days, and arise and build up and strengthen thy Zion. May there be the settlement of pastorates, and that may the little flocks of God be renewed and replenished. Instead of a decline and the closure of chapels, may we see, O Lord, a building up, a reviving, a renewing. Thou art able to do abundantly more than we can even ask or think. And bless, Lord, our nation. Raise up in our parliament men and women of God, of integrity, of wisdom and of understanding. Graciously deliver us, O Lord, from the European Union, and that we might once again stand as a independent nation here upon earth, and that thou would preserve our Protestant heritage, our civil and our religious liberties, O Lord, we do beseech of thee. Bless our beloved Queen and consort and all the royal household. Bless them with thy rich grace, O Lord, we do beseech thee. We pray for all in authority over us, that thou would remember them. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst fill our hearts with gratitude. Fill our hearts with gratitude for thy precious word. This is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. We thank thee for the word of God in our own language. We thank thee, most gracious Lord, for the wonderful glory of Christ, for the fullness of that salvation that he has procured. Everlasting righteousness has been brought in, sin has been put away, divine justice has been satisfied, God and sinners are reconciled, our precious Redeemer has died and rose again and swallowed up death in victory, and he has bodily ascended into heaven, and he sitteth at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We would bow in adoration, thankfulness and praise before thy great and glorious majesty. O most gracious Lord, fill our hearts with thanksgiving. We do humbly beseech of thee. We thank thee, O Lord, that thy mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. We thank thee for our little house of prayer and the supply of all our many returning needs. And we pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst now be with us as we turn to thy word, and that thou wouldst come and open thy word to our hearts and to our understanding, that we may delve into the deep that coucheth beneath. We ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Now sing together hymn number 76. The tune is Abigail 274. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in. Glory to God, they ne'er shall rove beyond the limits of his love. fenced with Jehovah's showers and wills, firm as the everlasting hills. Hymn number 76.
Thank you.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the 6th chapter of the book of the Revelation, and that we will read verse 2 for our text. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him. You know, friends, we always need to go back right to the beginning of the book of the Revelation to understand the things that are in this book. Some of the things are very obscure, very deep, but some things are very clear. We should come to the Revelation the same as we come to other parts of the Word of God, to be instructed in the way of righteousness, but above all, to see Jesus. When we study the Word of God, when we read the Word of God, that we may see Jesus. Like those Greeks when they came up to the feast, sirs, we would see Jesus. And when you think of the opening verse of the book of the Revelation, I often point it out to you, but that is our guide. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of the Revelation, that is the fundamental point of it. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. You see, that is the key to this book. And the person in our text is none other than Jesus Christ. And you find him right the way through this book. And that is the fundamental essence of the book, the revelation of Jesus Christ. In this particular part of the Word of God, from the beginning of chapter 5 to the end of chapter 6, we have a whole section on the seals of the book. And we read of the seals in chapter 5, and we read of the opening of the seals in chapter 6. Now, this book is the book of the eternal decrees of Almighty God. That is the eternal decrees of salvation and of redemption. It's very revealing that the first seal is opened and we see Christ going forth conquering and to conquer. And it shows you what is the essence of the book. It's the eternal decrees of God in Christ, of salvation, of the redemption of his people. And they are to be saved and redeemed from every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe and every people. The Lord has his people in every generation. The only reason that this world remains is because the Lord has his people yet to call by divine grace. We notice in chapter 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. 7 is the number of perfection, completeness. And this book is the complete decrees of the eternal God, of the salvation of the church, of the damnation of the wicked. It's all contained in this book. And what so distressed John? He said, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. These glorious decrees of salvation, redemption, deliverance, And so he says, I wept much because no man was found worthy. That means no man was worthy, pure, holy, to be able to open that book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And then we have this beautiful word of gospel grace. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, weep not. Why? Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as we're clearly revealed in Holy Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ was born of the tribe of Judah in the town of Bethlehem, of the seed and lineage of David, according to those prophecies that went before upon him. We read, and one of those blessings in the Old Testament concerning Judah, that the Lord giver shall not depart from between his feet. Who is the Lord giver? Christ. It's a prophecy of Christ that he would come. Not only that, each of the 12 tribes of Israel, as they journeyed through the wilderness, each one of them had a standard. Now, we know what a standard is. When an army goes into battle, and there's various regiments in that army, and each one of them has a standard. They have a flag that they fly. And so they are identified that that is such and such a regiment, and that is such and such a regiment. And the children of Israel, each one of those tribes, they had a standard which they lifted up as they went forward. You see, and the standard of the tribe of Judah was a lion. A lion. You see, it all goes in with the prophecies concerning the coming of Christ. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion. Oh, you know, the Lion is the king among beasts. He's totally fearless. He's mighty and powerful. And so here our Lord Jesus Christ is likened to a lion. He's the almighty Saviour. We sung in our opening hymn of this almighty Saviour. Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Christ himself says here in the book of the Revelation, in the last chapter, he says, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. You know, there's so much in that word. I am the root and offspring of David. If you take a cursory glance at it, it would contradict itself. How can he be the root and the offspring? But you see, my beloved friends, we see in that the deep mystery of his person. The person of Christ. Who is he? I am the root. He's the eternal Son of God. From everlasting to everlasting. The mighty tribe of Lion of the tribe of Judah. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's almighty. And as such, when David was here upon earth, surrounded with enemies, great enemies, mighty enemies, Christ was his root. His faith was rooted in Jesus Christ, in the Messiah, the Son of God. Look how he writes about the Messiah in the book of Psalms. What a revelation he had of the Messiah. And how beautifully that is set forth when David goes forth, that young stripling, probably only 16 or 17 years of age, and he was a man of short stature. And here was this mighty giant, Goliath, a man of war from his youth, and here was this little shepherd boy. Why, naturally speaking, there was no match. There was no match whatsoever. But you see, you look at it spiritually. What did David say as he approached unto that mighty Philistine? I come unto thee in the name of the God of Israel, the mighty God of Israel. He went forth in faith, looking unto Jesus. Nothing shall be impossible to him that believeth. The smallest faith Christ said, if thou hast faith as a grain of mustard seed, and thou canst say unto this mountain, be thou moved into the midst of the sea, and it will be moved. It will be moved. Faith is a wonderful gift. I've often said to you about Lady Lucy Smith in the Countess of Huntingdon's connection, and that she was a woman renowned for her faith. And on being introduced to somebody one day, and as Lady Lucy Smith, and the person said, oh, you're that woman of great faith. Oh no, she said, I have a little faith in a great God. That's a wonderful way of putting it. And that's how David went forth when he went to fight with Goliath. He had a little faith in a great God, an almighty God that was able to deliver him. You see, the root of David. His faith was rooted and grounded in Christ. That's where the secret of his wisdom was. That's where the secret of his strength was. And you know, my beloved friends, it's exactly the same today with the Lord's people. Our strength is the almighty King of grace, who said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What small views we have of the glorious person of Jesus Christ. How soon we're in doubting and fearing. You know, my beloved friends, he's almighty. He's almighty. He's able to do abundantly more than you can even ask or think. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? With God, nothing shall be impossible. That's how David went forth against his enemies. He was rooted in Christ. I am the root of David. But then it says, I am the offspring of David. So you see, in the root of David, the eternal Son of God, we see in the offspring of David, the eternal Son of God manifest in the flesh. He was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. And so in that beautiful word, we see those two glorious natures in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Word of God, he is referred to as the Son of God. But in the Word of God, he's also referred to as the Son of Man. You think of that beautiful promise in Psalm 80. Let thy hand, David is praying unto God. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, that's Christ. The Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. You see, my beloved friends, I behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. You see, my beloved friends, he has prevailed. He has brought life and immortality to light. He came into this world made of a woman, made under the law of the seed of David. He lived as a holy, spotless man here upon earth. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He fulfilled that holy, righteous law in every jot and in every tittle. Why did he do that? For his people. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He loved them with an everlasting love. And that's what he came to do. That holy law of God that they have broken, that they have dishonored. He came and magnified it and honored it. In that holy, perfect, sinless life that he lived. Oh, the wonderful glory there is in the holy person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He did no sin. Sin is any transgression of the law of God. He never transgressed the law of God in one iota. He lived a perfect, sinless, holy life. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. But you see, it says here in the next verse, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain. It's the same person. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, a lamb. When John the Baptist saw our Lord Jesus Christ here on earth, he said to his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So we see our Lord Jesus here as a mighty king. We also see him as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We see the man of sorrows, made of a woman, made under the law, laid in the manger at Bethlehem. We see the Son of God manifest in the flesh as a little babe, wrapped in swaddling bands and laying in a manger. What a profound difference, isn't it? The lion and the lamb. But you see, he procured salvation for his people as a lamb. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away." He lived a life of perfect obedience to the law. He was surrounded with enemies that hated him, that abhorred him, that persecuted him, that argued with him, that set him at naught constantly and continually. He was surrounded with sinful, wicked men, with men seeking to take his life. Not only did Herod seek to take his life, but the amount of times we read of the Pharisees, and they took up stones to stone him. And they sought to take him again and again. They hated him. Why? Because he preached the truth. The glorious truth as it is in Jesus. The truth of man's lost condition. The truth of man's helpless condition. And the truth that he alone, Jesus Christ, was able to save and to deliver them. And that he would do that. And now he foretold them of his sufferings and his death, his resurrection. They couldn't receive it. Even the disciples didn't understand it until it actually happened. And then we read, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And they saw what Christ had done. And they went and preached what Christ has done. As the Lamb of God, you think of this, the Lamb of God. You think of the Paschal Lamb, the Lamb of the Passover that was taken by the children of Israel and slain on that night of the Passover, when the Lord was going to deliver the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. That Lamb of the Passover is a beautiful type of the Lamb of God slain from the before the foundation of the world. And they took the blood of that Lamb and they put it on the sideposts and lintels of the door. And the Lord said they were to go in the house and they eat that Lamb, roast with fire. And he said, when the destroying angel came through the land of Egypt that night, he said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." That blood is the blood of Christ. That's what it represents. That's what it typifies. That Lamb is the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. That's what it represents. They were to eat it, roast with fire. "When I see the blood," the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What did they see here in heaven? "And in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb as it had been slain. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away." Think of that glorious, holy sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. You think of that suffering, holy Son of God there as he suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary. The sin of the whole church was laid upon him. All the agony and grief that he passed through. "Now is my soul troubled." Why that agony? Why that grief? Because the sin of the whole church laid upon him. That's why he was crucified. Oh, you think of that beautiful word in Isaiah 53. It speaks of the wonderful doctrine of substitution. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." See, there stood a Lamb as it had been slain. A Lamb as it had been slain. The glorious Lamb of God. And it goes on there in verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, hast redeemed us. The redemption price, the precious blood of the Lamb. He poured out His soul unto death. That precious blood that He poured out. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. From all sin. The blood of Christ, a precious blood, cleanses from all sin. Doubt it not. You see, and there were thousands and thousands around the throne. And in verse 12, chapter 5, he says, They sang with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. You see, He hath made us kings and priests unto God through that glorious holy sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. Oh, my dear beloved friends, may the Lord open these precious sacred truths to our heart and to our understanding. And then here in chapter 6 we have the beginning of the opening of the seals, and it's a wonderful truth, my beloved friends. The first seal, what is it? It's the preaching of the everlasting gospel in the earth, here upon earth, the raising up and the sending forth of the Lord's servants from the time of Christ to the end of time. You might say, how can you definitely say to the end of time? Listen to the word of God. When the Lord Jesus commissioned His disciples to go and preach the gospel, He said, go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel unto every creature. What did He go on to say? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Lo, I am with you always. You see, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's Christ in the gospel. You know, I felt so drawn to that hymn when I was reading this, conquering and to conquer, and meditating. There is a period known to God when all His sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. You know, my beloved friends, some people foolishly portray Christ as saying to a poor sinner, will you come and believe in me? And they portray Christ as being someone who's impotent. My beloved friends, He's almighty. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and He will conquer in the hearts of poor sinners. He will overcome all the enmity, all the pride, and all the sinfulness in your heart. He will subdue us by His mighty power. You know, David, that is one of the most beautiful of the messianic psalms. It is Psalm 45. And in Psalm 45, is Christ is being prayed unto. And the psalmist, he says, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things that I have made touching the King. The King is King Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children men. You see, He's the chiefest among 10,000. Thou art fairer than the children men. Pure. Holy. Do you know Christ is the only pure, holy man to have walked right through this life with no sin? Thou art fairer than the children of men. Not only fairer because He was pure and holy, He's the Son of God, manifest in the flesh. Fairer than the children men, the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Now listen, this is the prayer of the church unto this glorious and this almighty majesty of heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall unto thee. He shall go forth conquering and to conquer. It's only the power, the mighty power of God in Christ that can conquer a sinner's heart. And you know what he's promised? I will work, and who shall let it? Who shall hinder it? Who shall hinder it? You see, my beloved friends, some men, and they may be good men, and they will stand and preach, and they will say, Jesus wants to save you. Jesus is willing to save you. If only you will come to him. And they will say, you're going to hell because you won't believe in Jesus Christ, because you reject Jesus Christ. My dear beloved friends, we worship a Christ that is almighty, that will overcome a poor rebellious sinner by his almighty and invincible grace. Our gospel, we spoke of it on Thursday evening, that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. He said our gospel is not a yea and nay gospel, but it's yea and amen. And so it is in our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is yea and amen. And the persons who he overcomes and conquers are those who were chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son at Calvary, and he sends his Spirit into their heart. He quickens their soul into life. Oh, I shall never forget, my beloved friends, that occasion when the Lord so revealed himself to me in his majesty, in his holiness. I could take you to the very spot in the East End of London, a young man running away from God and away from the things of God. In a path of complete rebellion against God. That's where I was. And the Lord, he came to me and he gave me such an awful sense of his holiness, his majesty. As the holy, righteous God of heaven, I trembled. I was rooted to the very spot, trembling at the presence of the Almighty God. And then I went into my office, all alone. And oh, the enmity that rose up in my heart. I shouted at the top of my voice, I will not have this man to rule over me. That's where I was, at enmity to God. The word of God declares unto us, the carnal mind is enmity to God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And that's where I was, in enmity to God, hatred of God. Not everyone's experience, and I'm not laying it down as a standard in experience. I'm merely conveying to you what the Lord did to me. And you know, after that, the next 2 years, the Lord was convicting and convincing me of sin, until I was like a little child, so wretched, so lost, so ruined, so undone. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I couldn't possibly see how this great holy God could have mercy upon such a wretched sinner, such a ruined sinner. Since I've been in the ministry, it stands out more clear what the Lord was teaching me at that time. I see it so clearly. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. My will was to go in the opposite direction in rebellion against God. His will was to save me with an everlasting salvation and to bring me, and he sent his Spirit into my heart, convicting and convincing me of my sin. And during that period of 2 years, I didn't realize it at the time, but he permitted Satan to sorely afflict me with the most terrible temptations. And this was the process the Lord used to humble me, to bring me to nothing as a poor, guilty, wretched, hopeless sinner to this holy, holy, holy God of heaven. You know, and then he revealed his Son in me. Oh, those beautiful words of grace that filled my heart with such joy and such love. And ye shall be rooted and grounded in love, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Oh, I melted as clay in the hands of the heavenly potter. The glory of Christ, the wonders of redeeming love, it was beyond what I can express at that time when Christ was revealed in me. You see, that's what the Lord does. And that's what the psalmist is praying for. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. You see the wonderful, we won't go through the whole of the psalm, but the wonderful glory of Christ. The King of Kings, what we will look at though, is in verse 9, King's daughters were among thy honourable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. That's the church of Christ, the bride of Christ. And listen to what he says to her. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. What a wonderful thing when we're brought to worship God in Christ. When Christ is revealed as the way, as the truth, as the life. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And my beloved friends, he's been doing that for the last 2,000 years. Going forth, conquering and to conquer. Sending forth his Holy Spirit, quickening those elect and chosen vessels of mercy into life. Bringing them to know their lost condition and leading them. It's been very refreshing of late when we've been thinking of Martin Luther. And then you read the experience of Martin Luther. And how the Lord called him by divine grace. And now for months and years he struggled and struggled under the system that he was under of penances and works that he'd got to do to make himself acceptable to God. And in the end, the word of God entered into his heart, the just shall live by faith. And gradually, as the Lord opened that up to him, he saw Christ. And Christ only, and that the sinner must live alone by faith in the blood of Christ, not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to his abundant mercy, that glorious abundant mercy of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That's where mercy is found. That's where salvation is found, in that crucified Saviour, in that precious sin-atoning blood of our blessed Redeemer, that blood that cleanses from all sin, that blood that reconciles unto God, that blood that brings peace into the heart and conscience of the children of God. Oh, how wonderful, how it conquers in our hearts. Nothing but the love of Christ, you know, can so conquer in the heart of his children. He overcomes them with love. It's a love that is beyond our comprehension. Why me, O blessed God, why me? Why such a wretch as me that must forever lie in hell were not salvation free? And he went forth conquering and to conquer. You know, we've already laid that foundation. We've done it many times, how that the book of the Revelation is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And now another revelation I want to direct you to. It is found in the 19th chapter of the book of the Revelation. He says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honour and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. But he goes on, And he says in verse 4, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. See, and then we have that beautiful word in chapter 6, the last clause, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready. Notice the way it's put. And the scripture often puts it in that way. His wife hath made herself ready. She's made ready. It's a divine work of the Spirit in the heart. He makes a poor sinner ready. He prepares a poor sinner. How? By the Spirit of God in their heart. By subduing all the enmity of their flesh. By bringing them into subjection to the Lord Christ. By revealing Christ as the Saviour, the Redeemer, full of love, full of grace. You see, love in its very nature, marriage is love, isn't it? Where you're rightly joined together, there's love. Love that unites you together. That's why you get married. Because you love each other. And his wife hath made herself ready. That means a wife preparing herself for her wedding day. And to her, notice, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. That's the glorious righteousness of Christ. Clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Now you go from verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse. Again you see the white horse, Christ riding on a white horse. And behold a white horse, and he that sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. You see, he will go forth conquering and to conquer. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Here we have Christ coming to judgment. The judgment, the great judgment day. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. What do we have in John? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's all the saints of God, clothed in the glorious everlasting righteousness of Christ, made ready, prepared. Are you being prepared? Am I being prepared? Do you say sometimes with the hymn writer, Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothed, and wash me in his blood. So shall I lift my head with joy among the sons of God, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. What is it? It's the Word of God. That's why he's called the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And out of his mouth, that's out of the mouth of King Jesus, as he goes forth into battle, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. You see the glory of Christ, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, my dear beloved friends, in all your felt sinfulness, wretchedness, helplessness, ruined condition, when you come to him in prayer, just remember he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he's able to do abundantly more than we can even ask or think. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. What small views we have of Christ. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. None could ever ask too much. Oh, this great and this glorious King, going forth. We read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 126, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Who is it? Christ. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing the precious seed of the church, will doubtless, every single precious soul chosen in Christ, redeemed in Christ, will be sanctified by the Holy Ghost, will reach eternal glory. Not a hoof shall be left behind. We read in Amos of the sieving of the wheat, and it says, not one grain of wheat shall fall to the ground. What an illustration there of the church, the precious wheat, sieved in the sieve of temptation, trouble, trial, perplexity and sorrow. Not one grain of wheat shall fall to the ground. He saved them with an everlasting salvation. None shall pluck them from my Father's hand. None. Oh, my beloved friends, may we be enabled to consider and to think on the great glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and the great power of our Lord Jesus Christ, his power to save, his power to redeem, his power to deliver. What we spoke from recently, their Redeemer is strong. He's strong. He's almighty. Oh, that the Lord would enable us to see him, to behold him. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us now sing together hymn 194. The tune is Lydia, 177. Mighty Jesus, how divine is thy victorious sword. The stoutest rebel must resign at thy commanding word. Hymn 194. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.